Welcome back to Stethoscope, a podcast from the Northern Colorado Medical Society, bringing new scope on your community of physicians, healthcare topics, NCMS leadership, and more. I'm Crystal, the Executive Director of the Northern Colorado Medical Society and the host of Stethoscope. The mission of the Northern Colorado Medical Society is to advocate on behalf of our physician members to encourage a strong and healthy medical profession. A part of encouraging that strong and healthy medical profession is by providing outlets for our physician members to get to know their community and allow them to think outside the realm of the exam room. I am so thrilled to introduce SHJ Wealth Advisors Certified Financial Planner, Brad Conover. Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing well, Crystal. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So Brad started his financial services career in 2016 after graduating from the University of Denver with a bachelor's degree in finance. He brings a financial planning mindset to help clients of all ages preserve and grow their wealth. While he isn't helping clients achieve their goals, Brad enjoys spending time with his wife, Courtney, and their dog, Mo. And I hear you're also a hockey fan.
I am. I'm really pulling for the Avs that they can pull through this time. We'll see.
Well, I sure hope so. So nice to meet you, Brad. We are so excited to speak with you today about the importance of financial planning and how what you do today can affect your investments of tomorrow. So let's start with the big picture. We have watched the stock market during a global pandemic, and now with the war in Ukraine, how is this affecting market investments?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great question and one that's it's really come up a lot, especially over the past, few months. I think coming out of a global pandemic, it really showed just how resilient markets can be. I mean, I think we saw right around in March, the stock market was down roughly about 27% or so. And then within the next end of the year, call it, about 8 months there, the stock market was back to all-time highs. So I think it's really important to keep that as a point of interest for people to know that things are going to happen. I know that, with all the tragedy in Ukraine and the geopolitical events that we've seen, it spooks us for sure. But I think it's really important to stay the course. And actually, on our website, shjwealthadvisors.com, we recently, I actually recorded and shared a little video about staying the course and looking back over geopolitical events that have happened within the last 80 years. And obviously the market reacts very quickly, but we have seen on average over the next 12 months, markets recover about an 8%. And, while I don't have a crystal ball and I don't think anyone else really does, it's important to remember the long term. And really the takeaway here is just to have a plan in place so that you can feel comfortable through these ups and downs. And that way, you have someone to reach out to talk to and know that I don't need to make any knee-jerk reactions because I have a plan in place and I know that these kind of things are gonna come around.
Well, thank you for that. So when listening to the news, there's still some debate on whether we are headed for a recession. What are the main indicators and how do we prepare for this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, this has been such a big topic of conversation starting here in 2022. And we just had first quarter GDP numbers come out negative. And for those out there as well, like a key definition here on recession, that just means that we have two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. So it's only been one. So obviously people are starting to get a little nervous and wanting to have this conversation. I think the big things that we saw that attributed to the negative GDP growth to start the year was really our trade deficit. We have a lot of people out there who had a decent amount of savings and stimulus money coming out of the COVID global pandemic, and they're spending. They're trying to buy as many things as they can. They want to get back to their life. Government spending is down, as well as, supply chain issues. Again, with COVID-19, we've just seen no demand and then immediately to almost double demand. So I think companies are still trying to get that figured out. And, we think a recession is always a possibility. Markets, they go through cycles and it's healthy to have corrections. We want to make sure that markets don't get too long in the tooth. So I think that while recession can seem like a scary word, it is important to just remember it's purely based upon statistics quarter to quarter. And, you know, we're still seeing very strong growth in wage growth, new house purchases, you know, savings are still at all-time highs, household debt still remains fairly low. So I think it's important to keep those stats in the back of the mind and in this conversation as well. But to answer your question on preparing, and I put preparing in quotes for a recession, I think the best way to prepare is really just to have, you know, a long-term financial plan in place. And obviously, you know, we're a little biased here at SHG Wealth Advisors, but really what we see with our most successful clients are people that have come in on the early side of their financial lives, have a plan in place and stick to it. Because then over the years we see, you know, whether it's a COVID pandemic or a geopolitical event like we're seeing now, potentially a recession in the future, they're able to ride these waves out because they have a plan in place. They're sticking to it. They're able to make adjustments year to year by talking with us so that we can make little adjustments needed, but they're never in a position on, oh, I need to make a very quick reaction immediately. And that's where we really see, you know, people and their plans not do as well as they can. So I think it's really important to just talk to somebody, reach out to an advisor. We have conversations every day with new clients where, especially during, you know, downturns and COVID, it was people saying, I feel like I need a better handle on my financial life because this is scaring me. So, you know, it's really important to reach out and yeah, just have a long-term plan in place.
That's really great advice. So, I mean, typically the healthcare industry is considered a recession-proof industry, although elective surgeries and income for some physicians may decline depending on their specialty. What other ways would a recession affect the healthcare industry?
Yeah, and this was, you know, I have to be honest, I did a little bit of research into this before I hopped on with you, Crystal, and it's really interesting to see that historically, the healthcare industry has been extremely resilient during recessions or times of economic downturn. Actually, there were a few studies that have shown that during economic downturns, there is an increase in employment within the healthcare industry, which I thought was very interesting. I think that the biggest offset there, just as you mentioned, you know, we do see individual practitioners or elective surgery potentially declining, but we continue to see the amount of healthcare paid for by the government continues no matter what economic, we'll say, situation we're in at the moment. And I think that really helps with, as people potentially lose their jobs through economic downturns and ultimately their healthcare, we do continue to see people using healthcare services just through the fact that they're getting it federally. So I think that alone really helps the healthcare industry be resilient. I would say, you know, the COVID global pandemic really showed that it's not 100% bulletproof. I mean, I think we saw just with the furloughs and the layoffs and adding additional costs for, you know, personal protective equipment, along with less emergency room visits, hospital admissions, things of that nature, it definitely hit the healthcare industry hard. But I think going forward, what that may look like, again, I think when we look at the global pandemic, that was such a specific and hard-hitting, quote-unquote, recession or downturn within the market. And I think that the innovation alone that has come out of the healthcare industry moving forward to be prepared for that type of potential downturn going forward is only going to add to how resilient that industry is during any economic downturn. So it's not to say that something may happen that we may never see before that may hit it a little bit harder, but I think that the healthcare industry does a great job and has shown through historical downturns that it is a very resilient industry that can continue on through these times.
I mean, something that's really important is that we're learning from the pandemic. The CDPHE right now is reviewing post-pandemic issues. You know, what could we have done better? Because, you know, hindsight's always 2020. So, so we're definitely learning through this experience. So getting back to financial planning, we have physician members who are currently in the early stages of their career working as a resident. It can be very overwhelming starting a career with the debt of medical school. What advice can you give to those who are just starting out?
Absolutely. You know, we and I actually have several clients that are just coming out of medical school, potentially in their third to last year of residency. And it's a big conversation. And I'm really glad that, you know, I'm able to provide, and SHJ Wealth Advisors is able to provide help to people in the early start of their careers, because I think there's so many key things that can be done at the outset to make sure that, you know, these young career-minded people are getting off on the right foot. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest first things we talk about is just having a budget in place. I think that at that time, you know, in their lives, it's really important to make sure that while, of course, you're paying off any student loan that you can at that point, you're also thinking about retirement and taking advantage of any individual retirement account savings that you may be able to do, or any employer offered retirement plans. I think sometimes there's some simple things that can be missed just because they're learning so much and their hours are so crazy that it may not be top of mind. So we really like to have that conversation at the outset. And then again, just kind of adding on to that, having a budget in place, it's having a plan in place. How do I want to address this debt that I've taken on, especially compared to the potential low-level salary I may have this year, but see an extremely high increase in salary in the next five or shorter years? So I think that it's really important to have a plan like that in place that factors in those different pieces of income as each year goes by, because that's really going to change how they can save, when they can save, and how to invest. And then just again, you know, the biggest thing we always like to talk about is take a deep breath. While that number may seem very high in terms of, you know, budgeting and debt reduction on all of that, it's really important to remember where they're headed, their passion for the job that they want to get, and the potential income that they may see. We have a lot of clients that have been with us over our 30 plus year period of being in business that have started through med school, gone on to their careers, and now are enjoying the fruits of just having a pure plan in place and not trying to rush anything at the outset, but also not being so worried they don't want to touch it towards the end. So I think that's a really key piece to that as well.
We are facing a physician shortage in the state of Colorado due to many factors, including physician demand for an aging population, an increase in chronic illness, and so many are retiring earlier due to burnout through the pandemic. That being said, our organization is focused on recruitment amongst youths, and we're trying to find ways to help rural areas who are seeing a decline in healthcare options. All of these are very real issues we need to address, and it can be discouraging for someone who is coming out of high school or thinking about medical school. What advice can you give to pre-med students who want to work in the healthcare industry, but are afraid of taking on the debt of medical school? How can they best prepare for their future and manage the cost of healthcare?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, this is something that, again, through our business of just over 30 plus years, we've worked with a lot of medical professionals, whether it be nurses, you know, orthopedic surgeon, dentists, across the spectrum, where they all felt the way that I'm sure that these young kids are feeling right now at some point on, I really have a passion for this, but what does my life look like taking on all of this debt? How do I get out from under it? Will I end up making enough to pay it off? These are all questions that, you know, they had at some point. And I think it's really important to address. And I think that the biggest thing that we've seen and what we've been able to help our clients with, again, having that budget in place. So I think really taking stock as to how much do I want to take out in terms of, you know, loans, and also what do the interest rates look like on those loans? I think sometimes the dollar amount can be very jarring, but when we look at current interest rates on, you know, potential medical loans, they're not anywhere over 10%. I think they're hovering right about 4.5% to 5%. So there's analysis and conversations to be had there for definitely paying your student payment, your student loan payment off, while also saving for retirement. And again, taking advantage of any potential tax savings and retirement plan investment that you can do at the outset. Because I think that, again, it just, in those first few years, it's really just, they're learning so much information. And then to all of a sudden add on top of that, how much money in loans do I want to take on? How much money do I need to pay this off per month? Am I ever going to be able to make enough money to be able to pay this off? That can be a lot. And so I think it's really important to keep the big picture in mind. Make sure that, you know, if you're passionate about something, there are ways to create that life to be successful in the future. And I think the biggest piece is just talking with someone to help you set that up. I mean, I think I always joke as I talk with our clients that, you know, just as I don't try to do surgery on myself for any type of injury, I think it's really important that leveraging the expertise of financial professionals is really key to the success for these younger, you know, people about to start their careers and through their careers. I think it's just, while we would trust them, hopefully they feel comfortable to trust someone else to help them and take it off their plate, because it's such a key piece of their life, but it can feel so overwhelming. And that's where I really feel like, you know, we at SHJ Wealth Advisors are able to kind of step in and help bridge that gap.
I would also like to take this opportunity to talk to our audience about the annual Legacy Scholarship we award to medical students. Each year, we choose a medical student from both Larimer and Weld County and award each of them a $5,000 scholarship. If you know of anyone that would benefit from this, please ask them to contact me and I can share the criteria. All applicants must submit their application by December 31st. We will also be hosting a medical student welcome event at New Belgium Brewery during orientation week on September 8th. And that will help promote the scholarship, and that way we can get to know some of the local medical students here in the area. So it's a great program. All right, so switching gears, we've talked about physicians in the early stages of their career. What advice do you have for those who are planning their retirement?
Yes, such a good question. You know, our goal is really, when it comes down to it, to help people plan for tomorrow so that they can enjoy today. And I think that is, you know, the retirement conversation is such a big piece that's always on everyone's mind. And yet it's such a daunting task to try and wrap your arms around everything that goes into, when do I retire? How much do I want to spend in retirement? How much do I want to leave to my kids? And on and on and on, that it's so important to have that conversation with a financial professional. And I think that the earlier, the better. And that's really what we like to have a conversation with clients, is that, you know, it's not to say at all that we can't put a plan in place at any age. We're happy to do that. And we've seen clients become extremely successful within their retirement plans and their, you know, their career of retirement, we always like to say. But I think that the more time that we have, the better, because it gives us time to put things in place. And then as each year goes by, we're able to have a conversation as to what's changed in your life. Have you started a family? Have you started a business? Have you, you know, gone out on your own to start your own practice? Things like that, where I think those are so key to what retirement may look like, that it's good to have those added into a current financial plan so that you can see where the pieces fit. And maybe, you know, a lot of the times I think we have these conversations with clients where clients end up being able to retire earlier than they thought, because they really just had no idea as to the amount that they've done such a great job saving, or how much money they're actually currently making, and or an inheritance comes about, things like that. So I think it's important, and this moves into my, you know, our biggest next point we talk about, is one size really doesn't fit all. You know, we hear, and I'm sure everyone out there's heard that, oh, what's the exact number that I need to retire at, and how much money do I need in the bank to be able to retire? And I think while those are good goals to have in terms of making sure people are saving, I think that it gets so specific to each client and each person as to, when do they want to retire? Maybe they love their job and they don't want to retire at 65. Maybe they want to retire later. how much money do they want to leave to their kids, or how much money do they want to spend in retirement? You know, maybe they've already traveled while they worked and they don't want to do any traveling, just on and on and on. Or I think it's so important to get a personalized financial plan that aligns with their values and their goals, because that is really where we've seen success, is that it's not just a high level number that someone's shooting for, but a specific plan to them and their goals that helps them be successful.
Well, thank you for that. And I know statistically physicians usually retire around 65. What do they need to know about tax planning in conjunction with distributions in retirement? I know that's been a big topic of conversation.
Yes, very, very big topic, and something that, you know, we've really seen pop up a lot in our client conversations, and one that we feel that is really important and something that has been overlooked for quite some time, and definitely something that clients don't have to the forefront. So I think, you know, as we hit around that age 65, especially for, you know, physicians and people within the healthcare industry, a big piece of what we work with is tax planning before age 65. So really that gets into, you know, where are we saving and investing our dollars? And that could be in, you know, pre-tax accounts or after-tax accounts. And I think that we do a lot of analysis as to where the dollars are going, because it can really help with the tax situation once a client retires. And I think on top of that as well, you know, as we see the required minimum distribution age of retirement accounts right around that, you know, age 72 and a half, and we have seen, you know, the government potentially think about increasing that age, it's really important to have a conversation as to, is it more tax efficient to start to take some distributions before that full retirement age or full required minimum distribution age? Because we were, another colleague and I were having a conversation with a client just this last week where we went through the full analysis. They have a lot of money in retirement accounts, but they're starting to reach that age 65. And we found through our analysis that by taking some distributions before they're required to is much more tax efficient across the full timeline of their life. And it ended up saving, I think it was a projected roughly $400,000. Again, that's, you know, no commitment to every single person, but I think it's really important that, you know, every dollar counts, and any way to be tax efficient before and through retirement is an extremely important conversation, and one that we've been having a lot with clients that we've really seen pay dividends down the road. So that's a fantastic question.
Well, thank you so much for giving our members some advice on financial planning. How can they reach you if they'd like to set up a meeting and discuss their own personal needs?
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate you having me on. And I think, you know, the best way for people to reach out is to go to our website. It's shjwealthadvisors.com. We're happy to have a free discovery call with anybody who feels that, you know, they want a better handle on their financial picture, and they want to know how they can retire and when they can retire. And I think just, they're such important questions that every person asks themselves. I know I always joke with my wife that I would have no idea about my financial plan if I wasn't in this industry. So I think that, you know, we just look to help anybody that we can and help them get a clear picture. We also, you know, our direct phone number is 303-639-5100. And we're happy again to talk with anybody, and really just anybody out there that has any questions on what's going on in the market. Can I get information about how to invest, how to set up a financial plan? We happy to have any of those conversations. And yeah, we look forward to answering them.
Perfect. And you are a platinum sponsor.
Yes.
And part of your sponsorship, you do offer regularly scheduled events. So tell us, when is your next event? When can we get to meet you in person?
Yes, absolutely. So our next event, and the first of many, we hope, with Northern Colorado Medical Society, is going to be on June 15th. And it's at the Old Elk Distillery in Fort Collins. It'll be at 5 p.m. where we'll be doing a spirit tasting. So that's not only for you whiskey lovers out there. That'll be several different spirits that we'll have offered for a tasting. And, you know, just really a networking event, just getting to know people, you know, within the community. And then we'll be talking just a little bit on financial planning and a little bit of an insight into our process and just how we work with clients, who we're looking for, and the key pieces that really have made us successful, again, over this 30 plus year period we've been in business. But really, we just want people to come out. We want to meet people. We want to get involved in the community. And I think, you know, when you add on some spirit tasting, that's always a good combination.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your information. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday, June 15th at Old Elk Distillery here in Fort Collins. And if anyone has any questions, they can always reach me. My name's Crystal. I'm the executive director. And I thank you so much for joining us today. And again, a big thank you to SHJ Wealth Advisors. You help make our mission possible. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Crystal.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, you will.